Author Simon Winchester sees the Pacific as a place where cultures clash, a place where there's challenge in the air as East collides with West. For him, as he crafted his new book, Pacific, the challenge was giving shape to his admittedly vast subject. He mates it by choosing stories from atom bomb tests and the Pueblo incident to the voyages of the Hokulea and the premiere of the movie Gidget that combine to tell a greater story, one where by the end he finds signs of hope. His narrative begins in 1950.
I decided to look at all the events that occurred in and around the Pacific that, you know, made the newspapers and magazines and the scientific journal articles, and try and winnow them down to about 10 that seemed to me to be important and emblematic, and then use those 10 in chronological order to try and tell the story in a sort of mosaic form of today's Pacific Ocean.
Well, it to me, Simon, it absolutely worked. And the thing that struck me was that these are stories that will be of varying degrees of familiarity to your readers, that people will remember a little about the Pueblo incident, but there will be a great deal they don't remember. And I'm also find myself shocked that people know as little as they do about the bomb testing that went on in the Pacific in the 50s.
It is extraordinary, isn't it? I mean, of course, not terribly far from where you are in Hawaii, just a couple of thousand miles to your west. Even there, I found relatively little was known about what happened in mainly in Bikini and Iniwetok. But they were extraordinary events, and the way that the American military, and I'm not being critical of the Americans because I'm an American myself now and have been now for the past 4 years, but how they sold it to the Bikinians, essentially quoting the Bible to these newly converted Christian Bikinians and saying, if you look at Exodus 13, verse 21, where it talks about the Israelites being led out of slavery in Egypt behind a pillar of fire. Well, we Americans, they said to the Bikinians, we Americans can create a pillar of fire and a pillar of smoke with this new technology that we've created. So will you regard that as a symbol of doing the Lord's work? And will you kindly, therefore, leave Bikini for a while we create more of these pillars of fire and smoke? And the Bikinians said, innocently enough, yes, we will. I mean, it strikes me as a terribly cynical use of religion to persuade people to leave their homes and then completely destroy their island and transport these people to a little refugee island called Kili in the south of the Marshall Islands, where there's no atoll, there are no coconut trees, there's no port. They have to have their food airdropped to them, and it's much of it, the food is, of course, Coca-Cola and Spam, and so people are getting diabetes and all sorts of health problems, and now their island is being flooded because of rising sea levels. It's a very unhappy story, and Bikini and the Marshall Islands generally.
And in many ways, a kind of a last gasp of the colonial attitudes of, you know, the European asserting his rights over non-white peoples of the world, not in taking their land, but taking the entire cultural identity and using their location for our own purposes.
Well, and that strikes me, I mean, that's one of the, it wasn't intentional at the start, but many of the chapters talk about that kind of thing, about you know, the European colonists essentially began pulling out of the Pacific, I suppose, after Dien Bien Phu in Vietnam in the 1950s, and then the British left Hong Kong, and of course the Japanese were forced to leave after the World War II, and the Germans have left, and most of the French have left, except for their sort of relic islands in the central South Pacific. So most Europeans have now left, and the Pacific Islanders are now being left to their own devices after having been colonized and they're, you know, irradiated and their people enslaved or at least subjected to all sorts of stringent labor conditions, or their oceans overfished or polluted. So we Westerners have not done very well by the Pacific Ocean, and now that the Pacific Ocean peoples have got back control of their ocean, perhaps things will go rather better.
You've been traveling recently in Australia and New Zealand and seeing some signs of hope in that regard, haven't you?
Well, yes, in all sorts of ways. I mean, one of the things that I'm actually writing about at the moment here in Massachusetts is the way that the Aboriginals in Australia and the Maoris in New Zealand, who had a particularly bad relationship, hardly surprisingly, with the people, the Europeans that colonized those two countries, have since the 1970s and 80s enjoyed a, or are beginning to enjoy, a rather better relationship. And one of the sort of small symbolic things that I'm noticing is that every time I stood up to give a speech, whether it was in Perth or Adelaide or Melbourne or Wellington, the person that organized it would give a 30-second peroration out of respect to the original owners of the land, whether it was a particular Aboriginal family or a particular Maori family. And that, to the local Aboriginals and the local Maoris, does give them some degree of sort of comfort. At last, you're acknowledging, they say, that you white people were not the original settlers here, that we were, and we've been here for thousands of years in the case of the Aboriginals. It's the sort of thing I'd like to see happen here in the United States, because, of course, the North American Indians, who are, of course, genetically a Pacific people as well, since they came over the land bridge, the Bering Strait land bridge, they have been accorded very little respect. And I'd sort of rather like to see this rather touching ceremony begin here in America. Probably never will, but it's something that I certainly found encouraging both in New Zealand and in Australia.
You also chronicle in your book what has happened in Hawaii in the, 50 years now of the Hawaiian Renaissance.
Yes, and I actually end the book talking about Hokulea, which I imagine you have heard about all too often since she was launched in, 1976. But I was intrigued by this new, the voyage that she began in May 2014 when she set off for Maui on this Malama Honua voyage around the world, mm-hmm. leaving relatively familiar waters of the Pacific Ocean and using Polynesian non-instrumental navigation techniques to cross, first of all, the Indian Ocean and latterly the Atlantic Ocean. And this she has done with remarkable speed. I mean, she made the east coast of South Africa about 4 months ago, and then she's been crossing diagonally from south east to northwest across the Pacific. She's now in, of all places, Cuba. And the thought is that in the next day or so, maybe even today, her crew will meet the Hawaiian president, as it were, President Obama. And what a wonderfully symbolic gesture that would be, that he will see a craft that has come all this way from Maui over the last, nearly 2 years, without any sextant or compass or wristwatch or, of course, GPS to guide her there. I think he'll be very proud indeed, and they, if they do get their meeting, I think we'll be thrilled.
Well, you know, it's also, if you just sort of isolate that story, Simon, it has all the themes that you could hope for contained within that one narrative, doesn't it?
Well, it really does, and I, that's why I end the book with this epilogue about it, because it strikes me that after all the damage that we non-Pacific peoples have done to the ocean and her peoples, that here at last is a resurgence of not just a Hawaiian Renaissance, but a pan-Pacific Renaissance presenting itself to the outside world in another sort of former colonial situation, Cuba, to an American president with these wonderful semi-Pacific origins. So I think so many strands all come together, and I just hope Obama will meet them.
Simon Winchester is the author of Pacific, published by HarperCollins. His other books include Krakatoa, Atlantic, and The Professor and the Madman.
Pacific blue. Shaded tree, the moon dancing across my sky.